Thank you for tuning in to Tap Talk Episode 8, where we will discuss the significance of dressing well for a job interview and provide valuable tips to help you make a great first impression. Grab a pen and paper now. Take advantage of the important information. Trust me, you'll want to take notes on what we are about to discuss. Please welcome Walter Hurd, National Director of TAP, and me, Stacey Provine.
Well, good morning. It is great to be back here. We are at podcast number 8. I'm so excited to do this. And we've got a great guest today that we're going to introduce in a couple minutes. But this is an important topic. So let's kind of backtrack and see where we started. We talked a couple of months ago about how to build a resume, about how to do kind of a quick 30-second elevator speech, and then a formal interview. And what we're going to talk today is about how to dress. So we've got an expert on that topic here. Stacey Provine is going to talk to us and answer some really hard questions and tell us how to dress. So Stacey, first off, thanks for coming. Appreciate it. So what's the key? What's the secret? What's the bottom line about why this is even an important topic?
Well, it's an important topic because it's all about making a good first impression. And something that I always tell people when I help them prepare for interview is proper planning leads to peak performance. And with that being said, is your goal in an interview is to make a first impression. You know, you want to come in with great confidence to express your abilities, and you've got to be, you know, ready to go from head to toe. So I think it's very, very important. It's a crucial topic that we talk about the importance of dressing for success. So I'm excited to be here today.
You know, you brought up a good point. You only get one chance to make a first impression. Mm-hmm. We've all heard that. Our parents told us that years and years ago. So typically, this scheduled interview is kind of that first face-to-face impression. Not always, by the way.
Right.
Maybe a chance meeting at the grocery store or at your kid's soccer game or something. And then that's your first impression. So talk a little bit about that first impression and really how do you project the image that you're trying to get across?
Well, people need to realize that an employer or a hiring manager will have a first impression of you within the 7 minutes that they make contact with you. Mm. And that requires you to be prepared with the way that you walk into an interview. With that being said is, you know, you're dressed in a professional attire, whether it's, you know, a corporate organization or if it's, you know, an engineer or a construction site. Going into an interview with, you know, confidence, with your shoulders pulled back, with making great eye contact, with a great firm, you know, handshake, you've already made an impression no matter what you're wearing. So yeah. If you dress for success and you wear the appropriate attire that goes with your confidence, with great eye contact and a firm handshake, within those 7 minutes, they already have an idea of what kind of candidate you will be for their job.
You know, you brought up a good point. This is a topic for a whole other podcast, but just the body language and the confidence and the handshake and the eye-to-eye contact and that sort of thing all complement this appearance that you're going for. So, but let's talk about dress. We're going to narrow it down today. We're just talking about dress. So you mentioned the types of industries with which our soldiers may find employment, and it's all the way, the whole spectrum, right?
Correct. And
should you kind of dress the same thing regardless, or does each industry have a different norm that would be expected?
Each industry has a different norm, as you said. It's very, very important for wherever you are applying for a job, whether, again, a lawyer, we talked about banking, or if you're going to be working on a construction site or a plumber, really find out the culture of what you are applying for. With that being said, check them out on social media. See what they wear when they're at an event. Also, if you know someone that is already working for that organization, find out, what do you wear? What is, you know, what is the norm there of an everyday, you know, attire that you wear? And what advice do you give me to wear for an interview? I also think it's very important, whatever the industry is, whoever you're discussing your interview, you know, time and, you know, those type of things, a hiring manager, ask them, what do you recommend me to wear? I always say overdress. Always be on the safe side to overdress. So if you are going to interview maybe for a construction site and you are meeting at the construction site, you already know that you're not going to wear a suit and tie. So be mindful of that. You can go and go to a job interview on the job site and you can wear dark jeans. You can wear some khaki pants, a collared shirt, of course, a belt and some shoes. And, you know, they might require you to wear a hard hat. That's perfectly fine. But you always want to go and have a tailored look. You also want to wear something that is clean and ironed and ready to go no matter what the industry is.
Boy, you brought up about 10 good comments there. I don't think I can address them all, but you know, in TAP, we talk about going early and going often. We tell soldiers and leaders it's impossible to start thinking about transition too early. It's just you can think about it when you're 10 years old, so you'll really be ready by the time you're 25 or 35 or 55. And one of the advantages of starting this mental exercise early is that you can do what you just said, which is to research the industry and the company. Because even in an industry, there are companies with different cultures, I assume. Is that true?
That is correct. That is correct.
And part of that research is what are they dressed like? How do they act? What do they wear? That sort of thing. So that's a huge advantage. I guess if you don't have time to do the research, you're kind of rolling the dice. You might be right on. You might be out to lunch.
Right. And that's why it's so crucial to overdress just to be on the safe side. And again, contact that hiring manager. Say, what do you think is the proper attire to wear for this job interview? And they're going to be very helpful in telling you what to wear. And again, some people that are, you know, transitioning off of active duty, they've been in uniform for a long period of time. To have to think about what they're going to wear to a job interview is going to be difficult for some people. Also, there's a lot of people that don't have a vision. What do I need to wear? What colors do I need to wear? That's why I always think it's very, very important. If you're not really sure what to wear, the colors to wear, ask a friend, ask someone to help you. You know, take a picture of something that you think that you want to wear for a job interview, send it to a friend, maybe, you know, even a video and say, hey, how does this look for this certain type of interview? And they're going to give you the advice that you need. So, you know, preparing for an interview is, like I said, proper planning leads to peak performance. I do not recommend you to wake up the day of your interview, go into the closet and pick an outfit out. That is not the way to do this. I always say, pick out your attire, lay it out the day before, go ahead and try it on. You never know, whatever the outfit may be, you might have gained weight. The zipper might be broken, buttons might be missing. And so, you know, if you go ahead and do that the day before, you're going to be ready to go the day of the interview with great confidence. Again, then you're going to be able to walk into a room in that interview with great eye contact. You're going to be able to shake a hand and you're ready to go. So again, it's very, very important to check out the culture, properly plan, and, you know, just to kind of, you know, get the whole attire ready, because it's very important to come in with confidence and also to look like $1 million.
Look like $1 million. That's great. Mm-hmm. Okay. In a minute, I want to talk to you about what makes up the outfit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not yet, but just kind of what, you know, is it, we're just talking shirt and pants, or is this the whole ensemble and how do you make all those choices? But first, you mentioned clean. So let me just ask you a simple question. How many people do you think go to an interview and they just don't look clean? Maybe their hair's kind of matted and they look like they slept on it, or, you know, it just doesn't look clean. Is that common, do you think?
I do think it's common. And unfortunately, that's the culture we live in. If you look at the younger generation of what, you know, what is popular and what they wear, it's very laxed. It's not very professional. So I think you really have to, again, study the culture of the organization or the industry that you are applying for. And, you know, I also think if you come in with clothes that aren't clean, and as my mother used to say, an unmade bed, if you come into an interview looking like that, then the interviewer or the employer already has an automatic impression of how you're going to take this job seriously. To me, don't even bother applying for a job or going into an interview if you're not going to dress for success.
Well, that's a great thing, because I guess even though industries and corporations have different cultures, mm-hmm. being clean is pretty much the norm in every culture. There may be a few jobs where dirty hair and, you know, crudding your teeth and all that stuff are appropriate, but not many. And
right.
I'd recommend kind of against those. So that's a great piece of advice. Just,
right.
And again, confusion between fashion and professionalism. And that doesn't mean that professionalism is only coat and tie and starch
Correct.
And all that stuff.
Correct.
But I see folks with holes in shirts and pants and things like that, which is a fashion statement, and that's fine.
Right.
But that, and it may be appropriate for some industries and it may not for others. So that's part of that go early, go often and do your research stuff. Do you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You know, like you said, you might be applying for a job on a construction site and you're currently working on a construction site. So you might be kind of dirty or greasy or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Say you're leaving that site to go to another site to apply for another job. Yeah. They're going to be understanding that you just left another job site. So those circumstances are a little bit different. But if you're applying for any type of job, whether, you know, maybe you want to be an educator, maybe you want to be a nurse or, you know, whatever the case may be, you need to be prepared for what to wear. Again, I'm going to reiterate this time and time again, overdress on the safe side. So, you know, I do think it's important. Again, plan the day before what you're going to wear. Make sure that it is ironed, it's pressed, it's cleaned, it's ready to go. And I also think you need to make sure that it fits your body type. All attire is not for just one body type. I'm short. I have no waist. So there's just different clothes that I have to wear. You're tall and those type of things, and you dress totally different. So, you know, it's not just a cookie cutter type of an attire that you have to wear. So if you're applying for a construction job or those type of things, you know, you can wear jeans, especially dark jeans, make sure they're clean, you know, make sure that they're not long and those type of things. That's why, again, I'm going to reiterate again, take a picture of your full attire that you're going to wear, send it to somebody and say, hey, how does this look? So they can get an idea. But I think those are just some things. It depends on the industry.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like anything else, ask other people what they think, whether it's your resume or what you wear or, you know, what you're getting your mom for Christmas. Ask some of your friends that you respect, hey, what do you think about this outfit? Does that look good? And if they're good friends and smart people, they'll say, yeah, it's pretty good. But you know what? You should put a belt on.
And
you should tie your boots all the way up. I know you don't like doing that around the house, but you're not around the house. Just put a belt on. Now, let's talk about what makes up, I'll call it an outfit, okay? Whether you're man or woman, blue collar, white collar, are we just talking shirt and pants or are there other accoutrements? I've read somewhere that accessories make the man is kind of a fashion statement. So what does that mean?
Well, you're right. Whatever the industry is, it's the complete look. It's your shirt, it's your pants, it's your belt, it's your socks. Be mindful. If you're wearing dark jeans, don't wear white socks. You know, that's just common sense. When you sit down and you see white socks, your eyes are going to go directly to those socks. That's just who I am. I'm going to look at those socks. Make sure your shoes are clean. For a woman, for accessories, I think it is important for a woman to realize whatever the industry, especially in the corporate industry, be mindful of your jewelry. Do not wear something that is going to, when you move your head or, you know, those type of things, that jewelry is a distraction. Also your necklace. Be very mindful of the shirt that you wear. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be honest. Be careful that it's not low cut. That is a distraction for anyone. So again, pick a shirt that's buttoned up that just, you know, just shows a little bit of the neck. It just kind of gives you a more professional, more tailored look. And also, you know, people ask me a lot, how about my tattoos? That is something that, you know, is a big discussion for a lot of things. For me, for an interview, especially in the corporate world, I do recommend that you cover them up, maybe wear a blazer or a jacket until you kind of find out what the culture is. If people do come to work, you know, maybe with a short sleeve shirt that has tattoos. So be mindful of those things. Now for a construction site, if you have a short shirt and or short sleeve shirt and you go, you know, tattoos are fine. Another thing that I think is very important that people don't think about when they go into an interview is the fragrance that you wear. Now, as a woman, I do wear a lot of perfume. It's just, I enjoy it. I appreciate it. And I really do like it. But when you're applying for a job in an interview, if you're wearing a fragrance, you have no idea if that hiring manager or that employer is allergic to any type of fragrances. Well, if you go into an interview with a fragrance, that they might be allergic to, they're already distracted. They're not going to be able to focus on you because they have an allergic reaction. It's the same thing with cologne for men. A lot of people don't think about those things. But until you understand that culture after you've been hired, then you can wear your fragrance or your cologne or perfume. So those are just some details about dressing for success. So it's from your attire, it's from your accessories, and it's also from your fragrance.
Boy, there's some great things I hadn't thought about the fragrance piece. Mm-hmm. So I guess, how do you react to this statement?
Okay.
And that is, all of this silent communication is in fact a statement about you, mm-hmm. what you wear, what you smell like, your hair, your pants, your boot, you know, all that stuff. So you're going to make some kind of statement. Mm-hmm. I guess you should think about what it is you're stating. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, I think when we're talking about accessories, you know, if you are trying to make a statement, or maybe you have a hobby or something that you really enjoy, you can express that through a tie. You know, you come to work with all different types of ties, you know, foxes or horses, those type of things. And I always ask you about those ties. You know, for a man that comes into a, you know, a corporate job interview and you have a tie, that can also be a great conversation starter. And if you're very apprehensive about an interview or you're very nervous and the hiring manager asks you about your tie, that's a conversation starter. And that, you know, that barrier kind of drops and you're starting to feel a little bit more comfortable because the interviewer or hiring manager wants to know about you, wants to know about your passions or your hobbies based off of your tie. So your accessories are very, very important about, you know, just expressing yourself. I always like a little pop of color underneath my blazer. Today, I have polka dots on. It's just something that just represents me. I'm an extrovert. I like to have a little flash and a little color. And that's the same thing with men with ties. So it's perfectly fine if you want to wear something that expresses things that you are interested in, but it also can be a great conversation starter.
Right. And I guess conversely, it could be a kind of a great conversation killer if you make the wrong one. If you wear, a Mickey Mouse tie to an interview at a very sober industry, that's not what they're looking for, you know,
Right. Well, and with that being said, I'm from Oklahoma. I'm an avid Oklahoma fan. I'm not going to wear something that has OU on it to an interviewer or a hire manager that's a Texas Longhorn fan. Automatically, we've got a bad impression. I would feel the same way if somebody came in with a, you know, Texas Longhorn. I'd say, okay, next. But that's just who I am. So be mindful of those things, you know, whether it's a team or those type of things. You kind of want to stay clear. We take our sports very seriously in my household. So, you know, we'll never wear orange because we don't like Texas and we don't like Oklahoma State. So, you know, it's just one of those things. So that's, again, researching your culture. If you find out who is the owner of that company that you're researching for, maybe they're a Colts fan, maybe something like that. You could think, okay, I'm going to wear my Colts tie or maybe a lapel that has a Colts or something like that. Again, it's another conversation starter because you've done your research. And again, proper planning leads to peak performance.
Boy, that's a great moniker and a great advertisement for Go Early, Go Often, by the way, which you may have heard me say in the past.
Right.
If you start early, you can research the industry, you can research the corporation, even the people you're interviewing with, perhaps, and find out, you know, where they grew up, what their kids do, where they went to school, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Not so you can paint a false impression. That's not what you want to do.
You don't
want to be hired based on a bunch of lies, but just so you can make a statement that'll keep the conversation going.
That's
a great point.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you a question about interviews. I mean, we kind of think about, all right, this is an interview at 10 o'clock next Thursday in the headquarters or on the job site or whatever. But if you're running to somebody coincidentally at the grocery store or soccer game or church parking lot, shouldn't you kind of consider that even if it's an impromptu interview? Do the same things apply?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, we're always networking, no matter if you're applying for a job or not. I'm always networking, meeting different people from different organizations and those type of things. Now, don't get me wrong. I do go to Walmart and not look my best. But the point of it is again, if you go in confidently meeting someone at a networking, you know, event, it doesn't matter exactly what you're wearing. It's how you approach the individual. If you make eye contact, if I see someone and I'm networking or maybe possibly want to interview for a job, they're not going to look at my attire if I come and approach them confidently with a handshake, with great eye contact, ask them how they're doing. They're not going to really remember my attire. So those are just things. Again, it's about your confidence. It's about your body language. But yes, be mindful of what you wear. If you know someone that is working at the industry that you're applying for and you're going to meet them at the soccer field or those type of things, think, okay, I'm probably going to meet someone there. I probably need to kind of look a little halfway decent, wear some clean jeans, you know, some different types of things like that. But yes, those things are very, very important as well.
And I guess back to your great statement, it's always better to overdress than underdress. And as you go through the networking and interviewing and job search process and the transition process, really, which is a long process,
right?
The networking process is lifelong, literally. And even when you're going out in public to, you know, the grocery store or soccer games or whatever, be careful how you look, because somebody may not have time to really get to know you and get that hearty handshake and the eye-to-eye connection. They just look at you. And unfortunately, the world in which we live, people make first impressions, whether you want to or not, by the way.
Right.
So that's a good point. This is a rule of thumb to kind of overdress.
Absolutely.
In every way. Never manage to overdress.
That's right. That's exactly right. Go ahead.
The body language that you talked about. Boy, that's important. That's a whole nother podcast subject, by the way. We'll put that on the list, body language.
Yes.
How do you, without even focusing on the words, how do you get the point across that you are ready to go? I can't wait to start helping you with your industry or whatever.
Good stuff. I also think we need to discuss that you do not have to spend a fortune on whatever the attire is. I think it's very, very important. I know that when soldiers are transitioning off of active duty, financial, you know, aspects of it are concerning for a lot of people. And I want to just stress to people, do not go spend a fortune on a business attire or whatever the case may be, whether it's a clean pair of jeans or whatever those things are. Now, there are some great box stores out there like a Macy's or a Dillard's that you can go if you're looking for a corporate type of an attire. Those are great places. But also for those that are, you know, crunch for, you know, funds and those type of things, thrift stores are a great place to go and look for clothing. We have a great thrift store here in Bardstown that's a higher end thrift store that all the clothes have been really, really looked over and checked and those type of things. And I've bought plenty of things there, you know, for any type of networking event or an interview, whether it's a shirt or a tie, excuse me, or a sports coat, those type of things. So I just really want people to understand that you do not need to go and spend a fortune on, you know, an attire to prepare for an interview. Target, I was just in there last week or 2 weeks ago before Easter. I really found some really nice, you know, shirts and ties and coats and, you know, pants and stuff like that that people can wear. So I just really want to stress to people, there is no reason for you to go spend a fortune. I think secondhand stores are a great way. Thank you, Tanya. You're absolutely right. So there's no need to go spend a fortune on preparing for an interview attire.
You know, that's a great idea. I tell you what, I frequently go to secondhand stores. There's a Goodwill store not far from the house. And for kind of generic clothes like khakis, khaki slacks for men, I think I can buy my size for $5 or $6. And everybody needs a pair of khakis. It doesn't matter what profession you're going to. It's just one of those things that guys need. A button-down blue Oxford cloth shirt, same thing, a few bucks. And I don't know if I'd wear that to the corporate office of a law firm, but I'd certainly wear it elsewhere. In fact, I do frequently. So that's a great idea. Dressing for success doesn't mean wasting a bunch of money.
That means
looking around and maybe looking at magazines and say, hey, I like the look here, and then show somebody, and then you start networking on it. That's a great, great point. Let's talk about interviews face-to-face or virtual. Is it kind of a different thing, or some of the same rules apply? What do you think?
To me, I think it's very, very important to dress the same in person or virtually. And the reason for that is if you're dressed from top to bottom behind a screen like we are today, I feel like you're going to perform better. If you have, you know, your pants on and your shirts and your, you know, your belts and your shoes, you just perform better. And that's in anything that you do. So in person, yes, it's important. But virtually, I think you should wear the same attire. I think I gave you an example a while ago. I did an interview, it was a couple of years ago, for a gentleman for a certain scholarship opportunity, and the fire alarm went off. He got up to turn the fire, you know, this fire extinguisher off, and he had a pair of shorts on with his, you know, his coat and his tie. So of course, when he sat down, I said, nice shorts. So, you know, we kind of broke the ice, but he was mortified that I even said that, but he was more mortified that he didn't think, okay, I'm standing up and they're going to see my shorts. So I do think, please do dress from head to toe when it's virtually. I think it's very important. I always, if I'm virtually behind the scene and I'm wearing my full attire, I just feel more confident. Again, it's about body language. And again, you feel ready to go for whatever the questions may be asked, whether it's virtual or in person.
Yeah, that's a great question. We all have 100 really funny stories, funny in hindsight, probably not that funny at the time, about somebody who stood up or, you know, accidentally came into a room at a virtual meeting.
Right.
How about uniforms? You know, we've got some great uniforms, really good looking. I particularly love the pinks and greens that are out now. And a uniform is a resume. It's got all your stuff on it, your whole life story, at least your adult life story to a great extent. Should you ever consider that in any kind of a networking or interview scenario?
If you're still active duty and you're going to a networking event, I highly recommend you to wear your uniform. You know, it just, again, shows your confidence. It also shows your patriotism, your dedication to your country. And I think it's a great thing to do is to wear your uniform at a networking event if you're in active duty. Now, if you're, you know, are off of active duty and you're applying for a job, maybe for a banker, those type of things, I think you need to wear business attire, a suit and a tie, and I think that's what you need to do. So you really need to be mindful of what the event is if you're going to wear your uniform. You know, you talked about some things earlier about how you dressed in uniform when you met the mayor of Louisville. So that was a networking event. I think those are very, you know, appropriate things to wear your uniform at a network event if you're still active duty.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So we're talking during this podcast about dressing for success. Mm-hmm. Lots of subjects to be covered in lots of podcasts. This podcast really focused on that because it's something that everybody does. It doesn't matter if you're working virtually, if you're working white collar, blue collar, East Coast, West Coast. At some point, you interact with another human being. And some of the takeaways, Stacey, I appreciate it, is that you always make a first impression.
That's right.
At some point, you do. And you always have a statement. So be very careful about what that statement is. So when you make the first impression, be it through body language, a hearty handshake and eyeball to eyeball look and a smile and that sort of thing, or the more detailed, what do you wear for different levels of interviews and different types of corporations. So I'm going to ask you one more question. And then I'll ask you to kind of roll up what you said. How about levels of interviews? I know a lot of interview processes will have like an initial interview, maybe with the hiring manager, and then a follow-up interview with your immediate potential boss, and then a third interview with the board of directors or owners or something. How does that level of interview change the level of dress?
I don't think it changes at all. Again, it's based off the industry. So if you are applying for a corporate position, you're in that business attire for that initial interview, for that follow-up interview. It might be another panel of, you know, hiring managers. I still want you to dress professionally for that. Maybe that third interview is maybe an offer. You know, they're giving you an offer and they're seeing if you're going to accept that offer. You still need to be in professional attire. You know, to me, I've been in this position for 4 years. I still wear professional attire because I'm always networking. It doesn't matter whatever situation I'm in. So you always want to dress for success and make a good first impression. So I do think you need to carry that tradition of being professional throughout those interview processes. Same thing for if you're going on a construction site, be mindful for that second interview. I still want you to wear some dark jeans that are clean, that are tailored to your body type. Same thing if they ask you to come in for the third time to give you an offer, wear the same thing again, not the same outfit, maybe something different, but professional, that's clean, that's tailored to your look. And I think, you know, you'll be ready to go and you'll show that you take that job very seriously, or you're wanting to really be a part of this organization or this industry. And they're going to really take note of that.
And of course, it's, you pay a compliment to somebody when you take care of yourself to be in their presence.
Absolutely. Right?
So they are complimented that you took the time to clean up and look good and that sort of thing. So this is an important topic that I tell you, everybody pays attention, or everybody can benefit from.
Yes.
Even if you've been, you know, dressing well your entire life, or even if you have not, at some point, somebody will interact with you and they will make an impression just like that.
That's correct.
So this is one of the ways to make sure that impression is a positive impression, mm-hmm. as you transition from wearing a uniform all day, every day, to not wearing a uniform all day, every day. And that's a huge transition. I'll tell you, when I retired, all of a sudden I woke up and I'm like, I've got to figure out what to wear.
That's right.
I'm wearing the same thing every day, and that's pretty easy. And it's a whole different level of discussion and decision. So this is good stuff, and I'm excited to have an expert here with us today. Stacy Provine works here in our office, so I know she's an expert because she does dress for success every day. We've talked in the last several podcasts about how to draft a resume, and how to tailor the resume, how to prepare for that interview process, whether it's a 30-second elevator speech, real quick, down and dirty, or a more drawn out and deliberate interview. Today, we talked about how to dress for the different types of interviews, and all of those have a common theme, and that is you need to start this process early so that you can tailor make your resume, your answers to interviews, what you wear, so you can tailor make all of those to the individual industry, location, geographically, corporate wise, etc. I think our next podcast, which will be about a month from now, about mid-May, early May, we've got a couple of great topics. Want to talk possibly about some social media use. That's the thing to put on the topic, because boy, you can find out a lot of stuff on social media. Some of it's good, right. Some of it's bad. I want to talk about financial preparation. It doesn't matter if you're a multimillionaire or not. Mm-hmm. You still need to think about it. The number still needs to add up. Mathematics is the same, whether you're, you know, rich, poor, or in the middle somewhere. I will ask those listening, if you have a topic you'd really like to hear on one of these podcasts, send us a note. Love to hear it. The objective of these is to answer questions and help soldiers as they prepare to transition. I hope we helped a few today. Stacy, you certainly helped me. I'm going to go home and relook my whole wardrobe again and make sure that I don't have any silly ties or anything like that. So thank you so much. And we will try to answer all these questions. If you have any more, keep them coming. Thank you for your time today listening. I look forward to the next one about the middle of May, first part of May. That'll be exciting. And again, go early, go often. Thank you for your service and good luck in the next chapter.
Yes. And in closing, I also want to tell everyone that is listening, utilize your local TAP centers. We are here to help you navigate this process of transitioning to the civilian sector. So if you do have questions about dressing for success and you want to just kind of run things by a counselor, feel free to contact them. That's what we are here for, is to help you and guide you and lead you into the direction that you need to go. Because our goal here with TAP Talk and also with the Transition Assistance Program is to help you to be successful. That is our goal. That is our mission. And thank you again, Mr. Hurd, for having me today. It's been a different aspect for me. I'm always behind the scenes. Now I'm behind the scenes and in the front. So I really appreciate you asking me to be a part of this podcast today.
Thank you for your great contribution.
Thank you. Have a
great
day.
Until next time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We hope the tools provided in today's episode will help you prepare for your upcoming interview. Remember, a confident smile and a positive attitude can make a significant difference in the impression you make on your potential employer. If you need further assistance in preparing for an interview, we have helpful counselors available at local TAP centers who are able to help you with any questions you may have. Tune in to TAP Talk Episode 9 in May.